Thanks very much. I'm Debbie Weinstein, Executive Director of the Coalition on Human Needs and a partner in the Half and Ten campaign, which is co-sponsoring this press conference call with the National Employment Law Project to tell you about the threat to millions of the unemployed if Congress fails to extend unemployment insurance before it expires on November 30th, and to release new poll data showing strong support for the extension. The Half in 10 campaign works on the national goal of cutting poverty in half in 10 years. Its lead partners are the Center for American Progress, Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights, and the Coalition on Human Needs, and of course the National Employment Law.
Hello?
Hello.
Uh-oh, her line disconnected.
I'm live still.
Guy Molyneux is still on.
Chris Owens is on.
Grant McLaughlin's still on.
Robert Pugh's still on.
I'll send Debbie an email letting her know.
Okay.
Hi, this is Melissa Botech from the Half in 10 campaign. Until Debbie Weinstein returns, I'll be moderating. First, I want to thank you all for joining us on the press call. Half in 10, again, is a partnership between the Center for American Progress Action Fund, the Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights, and the Coalition on Human Needs. We partner with the National Employment Law Project to release today's poll. On the call today, we have with us Christine Owens, who is the Executive Director of the National Employment Law Project. NELP is one of the leading national organizations advocating for workers' rights. We also have with us Guy Molyneux, a partner in Hart Research Associates, who conducted the poll for Half in 10 and NELP. I'm going to start off by turning it over to Chris Owens to provide a little bit of legislative context before turning it over to Guy to release the poll results. Go ahead, Christine.
Thanks a lot, Melissa. So today's call is about the opportunity or the urgency of congressional reauthorization of the current federal unemployment benefits programs. These are the Emergency Compensation Program and the Extended Benefits Program, which is federally funded. These programs expire on the 30th of November, so there's just a very narrow window in which Congress can act. What's at stake here is basically maintaining the status quo in terms of the existing programs, not adding additional weeks of benefits, but maintaining the status quo so that people who exhaust their regular state benefits, which are typically 26 weeks, and still cannot find jobs, will have the opportunity to trigger onto these federal benefit programs in the year ahead. We know that renewing these programs is crucial. Even though the economy has begun to grow, unemployment has been above 9% for 18 months, and it's projected to remain at least that high throughout 2011. There are 5 unemployed workers for every single job opening. And given how anemic the job market is, it's not surprising that nearly half of all unemployed workers are jobless for at least 6 months or longer. If Congress fails to reauthorize the program by the end of the month, 2 million people will be cut off from federal unemployment insurance in December alone, right in the heart of the holiday season. That's a huge burden on these families, but it's also a huge burden on our retail sector of our economy, which basically counts on the holiday season to generate 20% of its sales. We know, according to the Congressional Budget Office, that unemployment insurance is the single most effective economic stimulus program, generating $1.90 in GDP for every dollar in benefits. On the other hand, the least effective economic stimulus program is tax cuts. So it's really critical at this moment when Congress has reconvened, and we know that extending the tax cuts will be on the agenda, that we not lose sight of the urgency of extending the existing federal unemployment insurance program for a full year. We have to extend it for a full year. The kind of short-term stopgap measures that we've seen over the past year have been really harmful to working families and to the economy. We know that extending the program will help create 700,000 jobs next year in 2011. Americans' top concern is jobs in the economy, and it's crucial for Congress to act responsibly and to reauthorize the current federal unemployment insurance programs through the end of 2011. I'll now turn it over to Guy.
Thank you, Chris. I just want to talk briefly about a survey that we've just conducted for NELP and Half in 10, over the past few days. We interviewed 802 registered voters nationally, a representative sample of American voters, between November 5th and November 8th, and asked them a series of questions on this issue of extending federal unemployment benefits. For those of you who have access to the PowerPoint that was sent out, I'll be following along those slides where you can see the full results. First question we asked them was simply whether they favored or opposed Congress continuing the current program of federal unemployment benefits for workers whose state benefits have been exhausted. 60% of American voters said yes, they favor continuing the benefits. Just 37% of voters nationally said they opposed continuing those benefits. So by a 23-point margin, the voters said they supported having Congress continue the policy. And the breadth of support across the country was pretty striking to us. I mean, for example, in regional terms, the support was at least 55% in every region, usually 60% or higher. It also was strong across different levels of voter socioeconomic status. Support was very high among Americans with just a high school education or less, as you might anticipate. 65% of those voters want to continue the benefits. But it's also true that 57% of those with a four-year degree or more education want to continue these unemployment benefits. Support is very, very high among African Americans at 79%, and also among Hispanics at 68%, but is also quite robust among white voters, 56% of whom support the benefits and only 40% of whom oppose extending benefits. So both in geographic and demographic terms, support for extension is quite broad. The next thing we did is push on this a little bit to find out how sustainable the support is when people consider how this affects the federal budget. And we asked them to choose between two statements. One statement said that with the federal deficit over $1 trillion, it is time for the government to start cutting back on unemployment benefits for the unemployed. The other choice was that with unemployment at 9.6% and millions still out of work, it is too early to start cutting back benefits for workers who lost their jobs. So now we have a test of two ideas. One, that it's really too expensive to keep doing this, especially with this enormous federal deficit. The other being this economy is still so bad and so many people are out of work, the benefits should continue, which I think is a sort of fair summarize the debate here. But Americans don't have a very difficult time choosing up sides given that choice, because 73% say that with unemployment still at 9.6, the benefits need to continue, and only 24% are moved by this deficit concern to say it's time to start cutting back on unemployment benefits. And we don't even say it's time to cease the benefits, simply to start cutting back. But even so, only 24% sign on to that point of view. 83% of Democrats say it's too early to cut back. We need to keep going. 80% of independents say so. So that's an interesting area where independents are nearly as strong as Democrats in saying we need to keep on providing benefits. And even among Republicans, 55% majority say it's we need to keep providing benefits. Only 38% feel we need to start cutting back. And then the last question has to do, well, if it's too early to cut back now, how long should these benefits continue? How much longer should the federal government keep playing this role? And what we said to them is that we reminded them that the program had begun back in July of 2008, so it's already more than 2 years old. But also that historically, the way the federal program works is that these benefits are provided during times of high unemployment, and ask them what they think the federal government should do now. Should it continue to provide benefits until the unemployment rate comes down substantially, that was the phrase we used, or not continue to provide these federal benefits? Here again, the margin was pretty lopsided. only 27% thought that we should not continue providing these benefits. 67% say we should continue doing this until the unemployment rate comes down substantially. Now, obviously, we did not define that in terms of a specific unemployment rate, but I think it's fair to say that, you know, voters feel that we are a long way away from sort of a normal unemployment rate, and we did specify that the program should continue until it comes down substantially from where it is today. So I think it's fair to say that voters want to see this program continue as long as we see these kind of elevated unemployment rate. Obviously, Americans hope that's not too long because they want the unemployment rate to come down. But as long as the rate remains elevated, they would like to see these benefits continue. Here again, we see very strong support all across the country. At least 63% in every region of the country say keep this policy going until the unemployment rate comes down. 62% of white voters, 78% of Latinos, 96% of African Americans agree. So again, we see very strong support across the country. Those are the key survey results, and let me go back to Chris.
I think it's either Debbie or Melissa at this point.
I am back, and I do apologize. I got cut off in mid-introduction, but we have two other very important speakers. One is an unemployed worker who is directly affected, Robert Pugh. And Melissa, did you introduce Robert at all?
Go ahead.
No, she did not.
Okay, so Robert is from Santa Barbara, California. After 25 years as a chef and food service manager, Robert opted for a career change, completed his MBA, spent 6 years as a financial analyst, only to be laid off in June of 2010. Now actively seeking employment, Robert has been working continuously since the age of 16, and he now faces the prospect of his unemployment assistance ending for him on December 11th unless Congress reauthorizes the program. So, Robert, thank you so much for being part of this.
You're welcome. You did a good introduction. As you said, I've been working my whole life since I was 16 years old, basically no break. I changed careers from food service about 6 years ago after I completed my MBA while I was still working full-time and went into the banking industry. Then in June, my position was eliminated, and I thought, in fact, it was the first time I've ever been laid off from any job, and I thought I'd be back to work soon, within a month or so, because that had been my history, and I found out pretty quickly that that was not the case. I reached out to all my connections that I had in the banking industry, but of course, banking was not really hiring. I tried to I sent out hundreds and hundreds of resumes and connected with my previous industry, the food service. The only thing I was seeing there were basically a handful of just minimum wage, no benefit positions. So in my case, I'm single, I rent, and I do not have any kind of a safety net except this unemployment insurance, which is going to run out again in December. So I've only got about 4 weeks left. I'm on my initial 26 weeks from the state. So once that runs out, if it is not extended, I basically, I'm also paying COBRA, which is taking about almost a third of my unemployment check to keep my insurance. I'm 59 years old, so I really need that. And I basically just, I'm barely surviving. I can pay my rent, I can buy enough food to eat, pay my insurance, and a little gas for my car. I'm continually trying to find a position, any kind of a job. It's just, especially in California, as you know, there's just, I'm getting no response. I've had a few interviews, but it seems just impossible. So if I run out in the next 4 weeks, I'm going to have to move out of my house, and basically I'm going to be homeless because I will not have any kind of income coming in. I have a very small retirement account that I could pull from, but that will not last long at all. So for me, this is one of the biggest events in my entire life. I never thought that I'd be in a position where, number one, I couldn't find a job, some kind of a job, any kind of a job, and number two, that I'd be in a position where I have no safety net and would actually not, I don't have family I can stay with, I have nothing, I will be out living out of my car if that happens within a couple of months. So I'm really hoping that Congress will pass the extension, and I do believe it should go on for another year, because I'm seeing what I had been reading before this happened was that it's taking months and months and months to find another job. So again, I've had some interviews, but at this point, there's almost nothing available with so many people looking for jobs. So it's something that's very concerning for me. And again, you know, I've paid into the system my whole life. I'm about at the end of my state benefits, but if I don't fall into the federal extension, I have no income at all coming in at this point. So I'm really this is what's really affecting my life at this point.
Robert, thank you so much, and we really appreciate your sharing the story and wish you the best of luck. And thank you for telling us the urgency that we're all facing here. The last speaker for today, and we'll have time for questions in just a moment. Our last speaker will be Grant McLaughlin. He's Executive Vice President of the Fresh Grocers, which was founded in 96. The Fresh Grocer is an accomplished grocer providing high-quality perishables in and operating in the greater Philadelphia area. Grant will discuss why reauthorizing unemployment benefits is so important for small businesses in the country. Thanks so much, Grant.
Okay, well, good afternoon, everyone. Just to give you a little perspective, we run 10 supermarkets in the Metro Philly area, one in Wilmington, Delaware, and an urban area, one in the suburbs of Philadelphia, and 8 stores within the city limits of Philadelphia. Our customer base is predominantly economically challenged, and a good portion of our business, up to about 25% of our business, is reliant on public assistance. Ceasing or the end of these unemployment benefits would certainly have a detrimental impact on our top line, which would have a negative spiral when you look at it. If we suffer on the top line, then we're going to be forced to cut back our workforce, which is only going to put more folks in the ranks of the unemployed. We've recently opened, within the last 12 months, 2 stores in the city of Philadelphia, in which were identified as food deserts, some of the most economically impacted folks that lived in Philadelphia had no access to fresh food. We opened 2 stores in those areas, one in Northwest Philadelphia and one in North Philadelphia. Both stores, we hired about 250 people. 90% of those employed lived within a mile or mile and a half of the store, and the vast majority of those folks were out of work before we moved into those areas. We have expectations of opening even more stores, but it all really hinges on if we're able to sustain our current operations that we run in Philadelphia now. So this, along with the other public assistance measures, is certainly a good portion of our business. As I said, a good almost 25% of our business is relying on public assistance, whether it's unemployment compensation for those afflicted, like we just heard, or if it's a WIC recipient or a food stamp recipient. So it's certainly important to us as a small business operator. and allow us to continue to open stores and employ more people. So it has a lack of extending the funds could have a negative spiral, but extending the funds could have a positive spiral and allow us to employ more people in the future.
Thank you very much, Grant. You're doing great work in Philadelphia, and thank you for helping us understand what an economic impact it has, whether people are able to get their unemployment insurance. So those are our four speakers. So now we can open up the call to questions.
Thank you. At this time, I would like to inform everyone, in order to ask a question, press star, then a number one on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for a moment to compile the Q&A roster. The first question comes from the line of David Moberg with In These Times.
Hi. You cited the figure of 700,000 jobs in 2011. What was the source of that estimate of the impact of extending unemployment insurance?
David, it's Chris Owens. EPI has done an analysis which takes into account what the growth in GDP will be as a result of continuing the programs and estimates that there will be a total of 700,000-plus full-time equivalent jobs that would be supported through the extension. Some of these are new jobs that would be created, and some of it is hours that will be added. They released that study on the 4th of November, and it's available on the EPI website. And I would also like to note that the survey that Guy just discussed is available on the NELP website at www.nelp.org, his PowerPoint and his memo.
Thank you. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, press star 1 on your telephone keypad. The next question comes from the line of Chris Atz with the Louisville Courier.
Yeah, what are the prospects for a vote? Do you guys have any idea when Congress might actually get to this?
Well, again, it's Chris Owens. We are, we've been meeting, we and other organizations have been meeting with the leadership in both houses, and we have been assured that there will be a vote. We, of course, are pushing for that to happen before the expiration of the programs on the 30th of November, and we think that there is a great interest in that happening. The caucuses are meeting later this week, and we'll have a more concrete plan then.
Any chance it could happen this week?
I don't think it's too likely it would happen this week, but you know, they have a couple of days next week as well.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
The next question comes from Ryan Hess with the Employment and Training Board.
Hi. On a similar conference call last week, a colleague of yours from the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities mentioned that they're getting the sense that lawmakers are mistaking continuing the status quo for extending the duration of benefits available. I'm wondering if you folks have the same sense, and if in surveying folks out there in America, did you have to explain the issue quite a bit? Did your pollsters deal with people misunderstanding the issue?
So this is Chris Owens. Certainly we've heard some of what the Center on Budget talked about last week, and that's we have been at pains to explain both to members of Congress and their staff and to the public generally that what we are talking about now is maintaining the status quo through 2011 and not adding new weeks of benefits. Guy, do you want to address the question about whether in polling that was an issue?
We took steps to try to anticipate that in asking our questions. We told them that Congress is considering whether to continue the current program of providing benefits for those who've exhausted their state benefits. But I think if you simply ask people whether they wanted to extend unemployment benefits without specifying whether you're talking about extending the program or extending the length of their benefits, I think you would get that same kind of confusion that you're reporting. I have not spoken to enough members of Congress to be able to confirm what the senator is saying there, but it certainly seems plausible to me that the word extending would be interpreted to mean adding more weeks of coverage as opposed to talking about the program.
Right. This is Debbie Weinstein. Really, what we're talking about is preventing the entire federal benefits from expiring.
Thank you.
Next question comes from Michael Hartman with Marketplace Radio.
Hi, Mitchell Hartman from Marketplace Radio here. Two questions. What is the cost, what has been the cost to date from July 2008 for the federal extensions, and what would be the projected cost of one more year? And does the, what when people, this is a question for the pollster, when people, do we have any sense of whether when people know the cost of an additional year added to the federal deficit, that makes a difference in their favorability view of it?
Guy, you want to start with that, and then I'll handle the cost question?
We did not try to estimate the cost of the program and ask voters how they would, you know, how that would affect their decision. Obviously, in talking about the $1 trillion deficit, I think we were effectively reminding them that these benefits do not come free, that there is a cost in terms of federal spending involved. But we did not specify a certain number of millions of dollars and so on that would to let them react to that specific dollar amount. So, you know, my guess is it wouldn't have a big effect, but we didn't test that.
So let me I'll answer the cost part. The Ways and Means Committee has estimated that going forward, the cost would be roughly $5 billion a month. So if we continue the program through another year, that would be roughly $60 billion plus. However, that EPI report that I mentioned earlier that talked about the number of jobs created also shows that once we factor in the new taxes that are paid by people in those jobs, as well as a reduction in terms of some other costs associated with loss of unemployment benefits, the real cost going forward would be more like $25 or $26 billion as opposed to $60 billion. Similarly, the cost since the program started in 2008 has been roughly $106 billion, but that's just the cost of the outlay, and it really does not take into account what the savings have been or what revenue generated has been. The CBO study that finds unemployment insurance to be the most effective stimulus says that there's $1.90 in GDP generated by every dollar in benefits. So even though the actual outlay has been $106 billion, there have certainly been revenues added and some savings associated with the program that would reduce what that total cost is.
Thanks. Can I ask a follow-up?
Sure.
One more question, and that is, what's the thinking behind the strategy to try to get a full year? I know that we've had these periodic crisis leading to sometimes an extension and then not, and then finally an extension. That seems like an all-or-nothing strategy, and I'm wondering if a fallback is, you know, extend through May or extend through March or something like that.
Well, I would say that we have always advocated longer-term extensions because it's obviously neither good for families nor good for the economy to have these short-term stopgap extensions. If nothing else, it eats up a lot of time in both the House and the Senate to deal with these short-term extensions. We know that this past summer when the program lapsed for 51 days, there were a lot of people who were really hurt as a result of that lapse. And that drained resources from the economy that could have gone back into the economy. Our thinking about the importance of a full year extension is that all of the economic projections are for continued high unemployment through the end of 2011, unemployment that will be at or above 9%, and job growth has been anemic and continues to be anemic. The federal benefits program programs have never been cut when unemployment was this high. The highest rate of unemployment before now at which these benefits programs were cut was 7.2% in the 80s. So given that we know unemployment is going to remain high and that the prospects of job growth, while promising in the sense of absolute growth, are not really encouraging in terms of vast numbers of new jobs being created, we think it's better for the economy and better for working families and, frankly, better for the legislative process if we don't have to fight these fights every 2 or 3 months.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And next question comes from Chris Act, the Louisville Courier.
Another question about the timing. If Congress is not going to get to a vote this week and they're off next week, presumably you're aiming for hopefully maybe the Monday the 29th or Tuesday the 30th. And then sort of related to that, couldn't there be another retroactive fix like there was when they allowed benefits to lapse in June?
Well, yes, of course there could be a retroactive fix, but that doesn't do a lot for the economy, which will really suffer if these benefits lapse over the holidays. It is prime time for the retail sector. 20% of sales are generated over the holidays. So if we have 2 million people who will be losing their federal unemployment insurance over the holidays, that's going to drain a lot of resources, a lot of demand from the economy. So it would really be bad for the economy if Congress did not act before it adjourns for the year.
And a truly crummy thing to do for all those 2 million people affected. So all around, we certainly are calling on Congress for fast action.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, press star 1.
Okay, well, while we're waiting, or if there, I'm not sure there will be any more, but I do just want to let you know about the Half in 10 website, which is just halfin10.org, which has a number of resources that would be helpful to you. It will have the poll up, as I imagine it will also be true on the unemployedworker.org website, and there are also other information debunking myths about unemployment. So we urge you to go to halfin10.org. Any other questions?
There are no audio questions at this time.
Okay. So again, this is Debbie Weinstein from the Coalition on Human Needs and Half in 10. Thanking you for listening and very much thanking the speakers for supplying us with this information.
Thank you for participating in today's conference call. You may now disconnect.